Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Oh, hey guys, it's episode 131 of Please Advise, and I have today my fave dude, my boy, my best friend. He just had a birthday. He's getting super, super ripped for summer, and his name is Ed Hansen. Hi, babe.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Christina knows I love air horns.
Is this like your fourth time on Please Advise? Are you part of the Five Timers Club?
Maybe more.
I think I'm more than five
You
times.
Might be. Ed, yeah. You might be our most prolific guest.
Yeah.
You're up there with Jack. You're up there with Jack. I mean, by the way, one of our most requested guests always. One of my favorite people alive. So I'm so happy you're here.
I'm glad to be the VSOP.
The birds of Please Advise Nation. You are a very special old pal. So how does it feel to be 34? Speaking of old,
happy
pale,
birthday, baby.
Thank
very
you.
Very special.
Fuck 34. You know, it's like just, it's so
You
random.
Made it longer than Jesus.
I know. And, you know, I guess, you know, I'm just literally like, I really like 33 was like, oh, I'm 33. I'm still like sort of young. And now 34 is like, oh, okay. Shit's happening.
You know, well, so I had an ex whose favorite number was 34, and I actually like decided to Google it the other day because I'm really into what numbers mean now because I don't know why. And it means nothing biblically. So yeah. Let's just get you on the other side to 35, where it does mean something.
35.
It's like a transition year. It's like 29 is a transition year. 34
is a transition year. It's the transition. Yeah, it's
your Ed's transitioning.
I'm transitioning. my age is transitioning. It's our Caitlyn Jenner year. You know? It's like we're transitioning into closer to 35.
I just read the very beginning of her book. I audibled it and I had to stop.
Which was the Chris bashing super real?
I didn't get there yet.
Okay. Is she reading it?
So it's actually so interesting.
Oh my God, tell me.
So Caitlin reads the introduction, but she doesn't read the book because, and she says this herself, and I obviously really appreciate this, even though when I did that ebook, I had to read my whole fucking audiobook myself. But
it's really hard to do.
Point is, Caitlin says that she doesn't read her book because she has severe dyslexia and is really self-conscious about her reading ability.
Oh, wow.
And her dyslexia actually is like a really common theme in the book because like that's how she – like, you know, she really struggled in school. So when she found sports, which is like not – it wasn't intentional. It wasn't like she was like great at sports but like not good at school. Like she had to kind of find her thing in life. And eventually sports, like she just realized she could run faster than any other kid in the entire school by like fourth grade or something.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of, I think, in Caitlin's mind, confusion about why anyone gives a shit about her. Because she starts off the book by being like, well, I know you're reading this because I'm an Olympic champion. And it's like, I'm sorry. You can tell yourself that, sweetheart.
Yeah. Okay.
But literally, like,
that's the story we're going with?
I have no okay. awareness of those. I don't even watch the Olympics. Like, yeah, I don't.
No, nor do I.
And also, when anyone would bring up, like, your Olympic wins on the Kardashians, like, it just seemed like an odd plot filler to give you a purpose. Like, remember when Dad won those awards? Like, it would just be like this, like, no one cared that he was a five-time Olympian, which I guess is a big deal.
Right.
But definitely not why anyone's reading his book or not why he's of note. I kind of started to skip ahead a little bit. He started to get really, like, she started to get really petty, like, when she started to talk about how, like, Bob Costas in particular was really harsh on her about her transition and about her receiving the ESPY award, basically, and how she wasn't, like, a relevant athlete. And then there's this whole part where she talks about all the different journalists who bashed her and what she would have dressed them in for the ESPYs if they had transitioned themselves.
Oh, Caitlin's coming to read people now?
Yeah.
She won't read her damn audiobook, but she's reading people?
Yeah, she's like, Bob would have to wear something more traditional and demure. Geez. Like, okay. It was just like, it was very diminutive, I think was the word. It was very interesting. But a woman reads the book. Wags, can you please not? Thank you. A woman reads the book. I'm just kind of skipping ahead because now that I've gotten through the, okay, I understand your childhood, I understand the SBs, I don't need to hear, I need to just go straight to the mid-80s whenever like Kris Jenner and you got in on this together.
Right.
I did find out that there was a thing that before the show had even started, Kendall and Kylie suspected one another of stealing clothes. So I think Kylie kept her laptop camera, like her iMac, like camera running on her phone, on her computer. And a woman steps into the frame is playing with her hair in the thing and in the mirror in the room.
And it was dad.
And it was dad. And but the kids were so young, they were like, wow. Mom, what is this woman doing in my room? No. And then Kris was like, nothing. And like slammed it. No. But it was, like there was many, many things where like, you know, Kris over the years would didn't realize. Like Caitlin would just sit back and like watch the other girls get punished for stealing Kris's stuff. Because, like, on the off chance
that she revealed that this past episode of Kardashian.
Oh, she did.
She did. She was like, so, and here's the thing. Like, I take my hat off to Kris Jenner. I feel like me and Kris Jenner are kindred spirits in a weird, like, very linear, in a much more linear way than I, and I'm very proud of this. Because Kris had to put up with some shit. Okay, like, Kris's life has not been easy for Kris Jenner, and she's taken lemons and squeezed them. Bottled them.
You mean Kristen Houghton?
Kris Houghton, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kristen Houghton. I mean, Kristen Nay Houghton Jenner.
Yeah.
Kardashian.
Yeah.
I think she's back to Kardashian, right? Or is it she's still Kris Jenner? I don't know.
I don't know what she is. I think she's still Jenner. Kris Jenner.
So basically, like, Caitlin was like, yeah, Kris, like, you remember when, like, your clothes would be missing and you'd be like, Caitlin, like, Kendall and Kylie, stop going to my closet. Yeah. Or she was like, that's me. And Kris was like, oh, really? So you let our kids take the fall for it? And that's just the kind of devious shit that Caitlyn's been up to for a minute. And my thing was like,
Well, devious, I mean, it's the gender identity is kind of complex.
No, but letting your children
get punished because
you're... So, this is the other thing that she revealed. She had a secret female friend who she doesn't reveal to this day.
Okay.
Who used to buy all of her vacation clothes for her. So, like... all of the stuff that she would wear when she would go on vacation. Because her thing was when she would go do those speaking tours, she would dress as Caitlin. She would dress as a woman. Mm-hmm. So she would like go to the movies as a woman. She would walk through the hotel lobby as a woman. She'd go get a coffee as a woman. And when she was packing, she would pack the suitcase away. So she knew how to she would stuff her weave in the jacket of her, in the sleeve of her sports coat, and then put like her nylons and, you know, like she would. And she always had this thing where she'd be like, if I ever get caught, I can just say, oh, I packed for my wife and I.
Oh,
right.
Lord.
But one time when she was Bruce, she was walking through the metal detector at LAX and she forgot she had her prosthetic breasts on.
Oh, God. Okay.
And TSA flagged her and she was prepared to she got brought into a secret room. They start to like pat her down and do the whole thing. They didn't pick up on the prosthetic breasts. Apparently it was just a button or something on her shirt that like had set off the alarm.
Wow.
But like she was about to get busted as being Bruce Jenner with prosthetic breasts on.
Here's the thing, like, and I don't want to mince this point. I fully support Caitlyn's journey, transition,
new beginnings.
I just cannot stand her. Yeah. And when I refer to her devious behavior, I'm referring to her underhandedness in the press.
Yeah.
Her underhandedness when it comes to her interpersonal relationship with her children. And this is what they tell us. I very much align myself with Kris and Khloe. Here's the thing. Khloe is like Khloe is the Greek chorus of the Kardashians.
Sure.
She says what we're all thinking and what we're all feeling. And she also is sort of like, I think Khloe is like a conduit for like both, like she has literally had to be the pillar of that family and also like has literally had a lot of attack upon
her.
She's
the voice of America and justice on that show.
Yes, she is. She was the first one, I believe, who was like, Kris, you're in love with Kim. And like, Kim's your favorite and we all see it. Like, she, like, just like, okay, like, in my family, like, we have an
snake.
Inner joke. Like, yeah, she's like, she called Courtney a cold-hearted snake, aka she was quoting Paula Abdul, and I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever heard. She is our voice. She's our girl, but she's also like, the voice, like you're saying, like Molly said, the voice of justice in this family. So when Khloe sat down with Caitlin and she's like, Caitlin, like you bashing our mother is not only health, it's not only like fucked up, but it's like like, if we're, okay, if you want to have a positive relationship with the mother of your children, like, you would think that you'd want that because, like, you know, like, it's not like Chris, like, did, from my viewpoint, did anything super destructive in turn. You know, I mean, I think Chris has been fairly supportive of Caitlyn's rebirth and, you know, the emancipation of Caitlyn and all that stuff. I just think it's really...
I think she's been as supportive as you can be. As you can be. Honest.
And I also think, like, America really seems to forget sometimes that, like, that is not an easy thing to go through, to have your husband one day be like, okay, I'm going to become a woman. Fine, no problem. That's your choice. Okay. But to not...
Your teenage daughters,
to not expect there to be any ripples, any emotional ripples, because from my understanding, just based off the show, it's not even that, like, Caitlyn transitioned into being Caitlyn and now, and by the way, like, loved every second of it, fabulous, milked it in the press.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the fact that Bruce, who was, like, their dad, quote-unquote, who was, like, the authoritarian figure, who was, like, also the voice of reason for them, brought a certain groundedness to them, is now gone.
Yeah.
And they don't have that figure anymore in their life because Chris is Chris, and they don't have that anymore. And so I feel for those girls. Like, I think about that a lot.
You know, one thing that I just really took issue with from me is that it's like, you know, it's one thing to transition and to be like, you can still call me dad, but I'm Caitlyn now, right, and blah, blah, blah. It is another thing to do that. And then I think it's fucked up as it is. She wrote a book saying that Robert Kardashian knew the entire time that OJ was guilty and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but like, that's problematic, like, double time, like, fuck over your kids in the public eye is really harsh.
It's really harsh. And also, like, can we also remember that Kim had just been held up at gunpoint in a very serious robbery that she thought she was going to die in? And it's like, so that episode, now, okay, granted, I understand that we may not be tracking an exact time perfection here.
Yeah.
But, like, so in one episode, we're seeing Kim, you know, who literally does seem
traumatized.
Like, she is legitimately traumatized. So, again, my heart goes out to her. And then you have Caitlyn being, like, going to see Chloe. And she's like, I feel like you guys aren't talking to me. And I'm like, maybe they're busy because Kim just got robbed at gunpoint and is literally psychologically traumatized and has to raise two young children and be strong for them because her husband is also having, at that point, mental health issues. Like, I was literally, like, I know, you guys know that I'm a huge Kardashians fan. I love them. I feel like I'm related to them. But I also feel that, like I just, there's something about Kim, Courtney, and Khloe that, like, I just speaks to me. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's like the way that I fight with my family.
You know, the thing is that also with the complaining about the you're not there for me anymore thing, it's one thing to just, like, move away from your family emotionally. It's another thing that, like, in LA in general, this is a very LA thing that I think people also are not picking up on with the show. It's another one thing to move away, like, just, like, emotionally. It's another thing to move away physically. And so not only is Caitlyn in Malibu, but she's a stranger in Malibu. Like, she's someone that they're really trying to understand, but she keeps doing things that are really hurtful to them.
Right, to them. And so it's like, when so it's burbles, like,
I'm not
gonna
go to
them,
Malibu to,
yeah,
see you.
They're
like,
kinda
this,
like,
is miserable.
Yeah, they're like, fuck you. Like, you just said this about our mom. And so there's a part of me that, like, if someone says something about my mom, like, if my mom, you know, like, Caitlyn is not their genetic father. So it's like, but he is Kendall and Kylie's genetic father.
And
so
he was there as a father figure throughout most of their lives.
So it's sort of like, if my stepparent were saying negative things about my mother in the press and then went on to transition, I would probably take issue with that. But you have to separate the issues. There's the issue of you're being disrespectful as an ex-spouse. And then there's the issue of you're representing transgender rights in the United States. And that is also a very interesting journey for Caitlyn, because she has, I would say, taken a few missteps in terms of her, you know, her her stances on both gay marriage and like, medical care for the transgender community. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that sometimes her privilege, her inherent privilege, I think, has really stepped in the way of her universal judgment. And I think that that's something that I hope to see an evolution from Caitlyn on, because I do believe people can evolve, you know, but I also hope that that family gets back to be united again, which is going to be tough.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that people tiptoe around it because of the trans issue, but, like, she's just as infuriating as any other gay Republican.
Right.
Like, it really is. Like,
and by the way, I have some gay Republican friends, and
how?
Because I am able to separate.
You're tolerant.
I try to be very tolerant, but here's the thing. Like, go ahead.
There was an episode of this podcast called Nancy that talked about all about gay Republicans.
Yeah.
And just trying to get in the mind space of what
we had a gay is. Republican organization at BC, and I think I call it the Daddy Please Love Me Club, which was just like, I can, you know, like.
Yeah, stop sending me dick pics, Mr. Gay Republican, who was a Mr. VP of the Gay Republican Club. I forget your name, but was sending me a lot of dick pics.
He was very liberal. I wasn't asking for
them.
You know
I was
saying?
Not asking for them, neither. Yeah. Okay.
Conservative on healthcare.
What I will say is I try to be very tolerant of opposing views to understand and then educate and like, you know, to make – also, let's be honest. Like, I don't know everything about politics. Like, I don't know and understand everything. I have a lot more reading to do. I have a lot more research to do. You know, I just try to be – I mean, I know what's right and what's wrong.
Yes.
And that's where I come in. I'm just like, look, if you're trying to take healthcare away from – innocent Americans who have pre-existing conditions, you're igniting a war on women.
I mean,
well, then we got a problem.
To your family,
we got a problem.
You know, yeah,
you know, we got a big problem. So that I'm hoping that the level heads and the good people in our country step forward to make that right, because that is not right. So
yeah.
And that's all I can say about that. Like, you know, I don't have all the, you know, I'm not an expert on it. I don't, you know. By the way, speaking of politics, have you guys seen Jack Schlossberg?
No.
Okay, he's Caroline Kennedy's son. He is the spitting image of her brother, JFK Jr.
I'm
feeling
it right
he
now.
Is literally a fucking dreamboat. He
How
went
old
to,
is him?
He's 24.
Oh.
Okay. So, look, I'll be a coug. I will totally be a coug. And here's the thing. He looks exactly like JFK Jr. He's a Schlossberg, so I'm to take it he's Jewish, which is like a dreamboat. And so he's going to Harvard Law School. He just graduated from Yale.
Of course. Look at him. He is so at Harvard. That, like, his face is Harvard
his
Law School.
His face is Harvard Law School. And by the way, I'll give him a diploma. Like, he is so hot. I can't even handle it. And I hope he's president. I hope he is, or Caroline. I hope him or Caroline Kennedy are president, because who doesn't love a Kennedy?
I know.
There are royalty. There are, you know, they're the first family of this country. Who doesn't fucking love a Kennedy? Can we just get the Schlossbergs?
A lot of people have some ish, but I mean, you know, I love a Kennedy.
You know, I love a Kennedy, but I saw some of y'all don't love a Kennedy all I'm saying. Some of y'all.
Can you imagine the death jokes that would happen during that election?
I know.
Oh, come on. No, I'm from Boston. I can say it.
I know you can. I was more gasping just for the thought of that family has also been through so much. I don't want that for them. Like, I can't have that for them. But they were talking to Matt Lauer, and they were like, so Caroline Kennedy, is like any thought of running for office? And they were asking her son, Jack, and Jack was like, I support my mother in every venture, whatever she chooses to do, I would be there for her. And then they were like, how about you, like, Jack, would you ever run for office? And Caroline's like, I support my son in any venture he would do, whatever. And I just thought that was so cute. And
that kid is being groomed.
Yeah. And I mean they're just, oh god, can't we just get another Kennedy in the White House, honey?
Speaking of Boston, before we take our
I'm kind of done with white dude presidents in general.
I mean, look, did Barack not slay this presidency? I mean, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I mean, we were all like being critical of Barack, and now we're like, now look what y'all did.
I think it's possible for a white male to be president again and have it be an open thing.
I think anything is a step up for me. We need a little bit more of a change. 200 years of it,
I'm kind of over it.
I mean, literally. Well, Chase had a very valid point, which was like, it's going to be tough. Barack is a tough act to follow, because you don't often have a president who is that intelligent, that worldly, that above it all, and also that charming,
and good looking,
and wrapped into one package.
And
those guys,
with a wonderful family,
with also a wife who went to Harvard Law School as well. Like, who has? I just can't even get. It's just so sad. Like,
speaking of Boston, really quick before we get into our calls, I want to read you this tweet. I think you probably saw it on my Instagram, because I Instagrammed it. It was so fucking funny. So NPR tweeted.
Oh, I did see that. That was
Ed,
low pro terrible.
Like, literally, no. It's, but here's the thing: it's a very good joke. It's a very well written, fucking
funny
joke.
It was really funny.
So NPR tweeted, The Red Sox are considering a possible lifetime ban for anyone caught making racist remarks at their ballpark. And then someone named DVS Blast retweeted it and wrote, Fenway is closing?
I know. I was dying.
I died. Because the thing, growing up in Boston in particular, they don't even know that they're making a racist comment half the time. They think that's a compliment. It's fucking nuts what we grew up with. Literally. What I grew up with anyway. It's crazy.
Cry.
That was the funniest fucking tweet I've seen in a really, really long time. All right, you guys, let's take our phone calls. Some light trans talk at the beginning. That's.
We're both supporting Caitlyn. We're supporting Caitlyn Jenner's journey without supporting Caitlyn's politics. I don't know.
Yeah, I just hope that someone is called in drunk for this episode because I feel like we need to lighten it up.
Okay. Line it up, mommy.
All right.
Hey, fam. Meant to call in with this question weeks ago, but I forgot. But I'm making good on my promise. My roommate house sat for a coworker for a week while her coworker was on a business trip. She lived in her apartment the whole time, like brought a suitcase there, watched her two cats. And my roommate thought she was just, like, doing it for free to hang out with the cats and live, like, a block away from the office. But when she arrived, her coworker had left her, like, $170 in an envelope. And my roommate was like, no, I'm not going to take this money, and didn't. But then, like, you know, the coworker was like, you're going to take this money. I don't know why you're rejecting money. And eventually got my roommate to take the money. I don't know if she gave it to her at work or Venmo'd her or whatever. But my roommate kept telling this story to people to find someone who was like, no, she doesn't have to pay you. But basically everyone we know was like, one, it's normal for her to pay you. And two, why would you reject the money even if you guys didn't talk about it beforehand? I wanted your takes on this because my roommate is just so genuinely like, no, I didn't think she had to pay me. And we're all like, what universe do you live in that's true? But I don't know. Maybe you guys have thoughts on this or think that maybe sometimes you just house sit for coworkers for free for a week. I don't know. Let me know. Bye.
I mean, I don't care. Like, okay, like, basically.
I mean, okay. Like, you know, this isn't like, you know, this, I
this
don't
isn't
know.
A cut and dry issue. I would like to illuminate you on some of my thoughts possibly about your roommate. Like,
I mean, I would, the only time I think I'd blush if there was like a blowjob involved, do you know what I'm saying? Like if like a blowjob happened and then an envelope for $170 is there, then kind of like philosophically,
I would be like, well, I got blown in this house. So don't worry about it.
I can't take it. You know what I'm saying? Cause then that makes it prostitution.
But also like but when someone is
not to be sex shamey about prostitution.
He's saying that if you blew the homeowner.
Yeah. If I blew the homeowner and then $170 in an envelope appeared, I'd be like, not to sex shame, but I'm not a prostitute. And also, like,
then you wouldn't be house sitting. You'd be doing an in-call.
Yeah, you'd be exactly.
I'd or be, an like, out-call,
I'd be
going, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be an out-call. So, I'd be it would technically be an extended out-call. Right. And then in which case, my rate would be a lot more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
My rate for an extended out-call for a blowjob?
No. Just how much would you, how much is your minimum that you would take to blow someone?
For
sight unseen.
Sight unseen.
Yeah, like most sex workers, you don't get like picks in advance to be like, yeah, okay, I'll suck your dick for money. Like you show up and then what's there is there. And
see, the thing is that like I feel like with me, like it's like a really great like I feel like there's a whole experience to this. So I feel like 5,000.
Yeah, I honestly like I think no.
A blowjob.
Yes, yeah. If I sign unseen, Christina, yeah. What the hell am I going to? What if I'm dealing with something scary?
I would be minimum 5,000 for like
for an alcohol
for vaginal penetration. I'd be 5,000 minimum for a blowjob. It would be like 8,000 or 9,000.
Oh, interesting. So you would okay
to put someone's put a stranger's penis in my mouth.
Why am I like gagging? Like I've never done this.
Like
for free.
Because let's assume.
By the way, please advise. Like when Ed's on, it's gonna go to blowjobs.
But you
like,
guys at least like you at least had a conversation. You at least like you know I don't know whatever. There's an attraction.
Maybe
there.
There's champagne involved.
Champagne.
You know?
Well,
champagne.
In that instance, you for sure know you want that person's penis in your mouth.
Right. But like, then there's also the times
up, like, the Craigslist killer or whatever, like in the Craigslist killer when they call for masseuses, but really they're there to give hand jobs like that. I don't know. Okay. So wait, let's back it up because this is not even about the blowjob.
This is literally.
But the non-existent blowjob. This is a fun departure. So I think that there's a
Bethany,
few.
I'm being Bethany. It goes back to blowjob. Ow. It's like a blowjob.
I like to take into account a few things when I am either – when I'm having someone come here or in the past have watch bags or the house or whatever. One is staying at my house better than their house. Like, because when she's house sitting for her coworker for a week, she gets a week away from you in a real house. Like, granted, she doesn't have all of her shit around, but that's a lot nicer for a lot of people than being in their apartment with maybe roommates they don't know or whatever else, right? Two, like, is this a friend that's a really, like, when we went to San Francisco and I still need to pay you, and just, I was going to say take it out of our ad checks or whatever, but we'll talk about it off air. I said to Christina, like, I'm going to give you some cash to stay the night with Wags. Now, like, because you were saying it, that was, I paid you more than I offered you more than normally I would pay to put him at boarding somewhere. Then there's been times where I'm like, well, this is a really broke friend of mine. I'm really broke. I need to be out for the night. So what I can do for them is not only give them my place for the night, but then I can be like, here, and take $20 on top of that. Right?
Right.
So my only thing with this is that why wouldn't your roommate just want $170? Like, I know she didn't expect it, but wouldn't that be like a nice surprise? Like a little like, oh, I got a week off.
That's dinner and drinks, you know? Yes. Like, that's, here's the thing. I've much like you, it's very situational. I have been both in the position where I've watched people's pets for free at their house, and I've also taken money for doing so, just depending on how broke I was or whatever. Like, if they were like, oh, you're broke here, like, here's, you know, whatever. And I'm like, great. Or if I just was like, blah, 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 like, that's fine, I don't care.
But unless she's from money or literally is such a people pleaser that she feels like that there's no possible genuine way that she could take that money without it being like a strike against her or something. Yeah. Like, which is the only thing that I can think of, is that she's like, if I take this money, that will like low key be a sign that I'm not as good of a friend or a coworker or whatever. Like,
or two, like, it gave that person secret power over her that she didn't want. Like,
financial domination.
Like she's like, oh, they own me a little bit, and I don't want. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I gave you $170. It's like, then I. It's like, you don't. Sometimes it's better. So it depends. Like, I kind of, now I'm questioning who this person is, because I'm like, I mean, there's the Bethany part of me that's like, what, $170? You don't want $170? Like, I'm a millionaire. I'm taking $170 and I'm going to like go buy drinks and dinner. And you know, that's like a dress. It's like H&M. It's like a dress. It's like $170.
Yeah.
It's like a drink. It's like dinner.
That's like 12 dresses at H&M.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like t-shirts. It's like cat food. It's like cat food. You take those cats out for a week, you can take them on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, now this is another question.
That's the other thing too, is that true wealth? Like, I don't believe she's a true wealthy person if she has money, if she won't take the $170, because a true wealthy person would take the $170 whether,
yeah, it's
no
just
matter
like,
where they
now,
stood.
Part of me is wondering the now. So part of me is like, basically, like I was saying before, this could be a situation where she doesn't want to give that person power over her, which part of me low pro understands.
She's already watched. Well, she's already doing labor in her home.
No, but it's like, it's sort of like, then I, oh, it's like you, it's like she's gained a favor. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, and then Kevin's roommate's sick.
Right. Yes. Right. Or I'm just being hypothetical.
No.
Or it's something to like, maybe these cats are like the devil and like literally are like molesting her when she, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they're like scratching her and like, you know, and doing crazy things. So the woman, the cat owner,
a lot,
is like, oh, here's $170 because my cats are a fucking nightmare. Just take it. Mm-hmm. And this person's like, you know, like kind of like, I just feel like take the $170. Take the $170, buy yourself dinner and drinks, maybe go to Zara. You know, buy a t-shirt at Zara.
Well, she
buy a jacket.
She did eventually. Did she eventually take the money we found out?
She did, because he said that he wasn't sure if it was Venmo'd or whatever, but she took it.
Yeah. I mean, oh no, it was an envelope or something.
Well, she said it was.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he says, I don't know if she Venmo'd her or something, like, but she eventually like got the
accepted
money.
Accepted it.
Yeah.
Like, Chase, for her birthday, tried to pay for her birthday dinner. So, and she Venmo'd me. Like, she just Venmo'd us after we paid for it. So I took her money and I bought her a hat.
But well, wait, also, that could be an interesting that could be an interesting sign to what you said, that maybe the coworker was insistent upon paying her because she wanted to feel like the slate was clean.
That's true. There you go. Like, oh, you don't, I don't owe you anything. The slate's clean.
Yeah.
So I would, that's something I've done in the past where I'm like, I'm just going to give you something so you don't have anything over me and we're cool. Like, you know, and so either way, take the money.
But when, why would that be a person you want in your house for a week if they're that,
Yeah. Like if they're being all like shady about it, like they're like not taking the money. No, here's the thing. Some people genuinely feel like, I don't know. She's like she could be from the Midwest or something. And she's just like, I don't feel right taking the money. I have to stretch for a second.
If this woman has this, I don't want to give you, Ed is stretching. If this woman has this, I don't want this woman to have any. I have sciatica. Me too. Okay, so $34 a night she made if she did 5 nights at this house. So that's like not – that's actually what you would pay for boarding is like usually $35 a night.
Five nights is a lot to ask of someone. That's like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because like I love my bed. If someone was like be away from your bed for 5 nights, I'd actually have like – I'd like miss my bed. That $170 is – actually it should be like – maybe more like $250.
No, because boarding would be $35. And then also you have to consider the fact that if she's house sitting for her, her house is probably an upgrade and she probably doesn't have a roommate. So,
okay, there you go.
So it's like staying at a hotel for a week in some senses too. Like you have a new environment. It's like staying in an Airbnb. Like the only thing you might miss is maybe your clothing or something. Or like, oh shit, I wish I, you know, had easier access to this. But you could probably at their coworkers drive home, pick up some shit, and head back there for the night.
Okay. So in conclusion, Molly and I are both just like, take the $170.
I mean, I guess so, right?
Right.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know why we need to talk about this, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right. But thank you for calling. Always call. Always call. 323-450-7408.
Hey, guys, but at least now we know your going rates for blowjobs. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. 5K, guys. 5K.
Eight or nine. Yeah. Did I say eight or nine for a blowj? Nine or ten?
Yeah, you said nine. You said eight or nine.
I said minimum five for vaginal penetration.
Right. No, that's like, I mean, and unless you're like, I don't know, who do I like? Who do I love that I would like to do it for free? Besides,
so many people.
So many people. Right. Okay. Never mind. So cool.
Would you blow Shep from Southern Charm?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Shep.
So
there you
go. So that's the bar.
He's like so awesome.
I hope you're on relationship.
I know. Oh my. I'm so sad that like I did not make relationship, and that also.
No, but what if Shep dates? Oh, I know. When he dates comes me. To our city?
What if Shep? I know. Oh, Shep.
We were talking about this on our last podcast. Like, there's a lot of people that may take a very, very long time to come out, or may take a very long time to realize who they are.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the reasons why Shep has never been able to settle down with a traditional Southern woman is because he wants to be with a traditional Southern man.
I don't think that. I think Shep loves some
just
Cooch.
Just as he's rich as fuck and can get it I in think he and doesn't just give a shit. Yeah.
I mean, literally when she turned and was like, do you want it? When Cam was like, do you want to be Thomas in like 20 years? And he looks over and Thomas just like a big smirk on his face. He's like, doesn't look so bad to me. I was like, yep. Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Hi, Molls. I just called. I didn't even leave my name. My name is Tara. Sorry, I'm like talking so quiet. I'm afraid my roommates are gonna hear me. and it's a Friday night, so you can tell what kind of state I'm in. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do. I know that it takes so much creative energy to do everything that you've done and to build up all of the podcasts and all of the media that you've done over the years. Like, I started following you when you were on Tumblr, and someone recommended you to me, and I watched all your YouTube videos, and I just love the energy that you have. And as someone who's working in a creative profession, it's been something that has really helped me. And just really solidified ideas that, you know, like, we all go through so much being women, but and even things that I didn't even think that other people thought about or cared about, especially through like the Facebook group. Like, it's really meant so much to me. Also, I guess I do have a question, and I hope I don't get cut off. I don't know how long this thing goes on, but when Sometimes when I get drunk, I still creep on my boyfriend's like last fling, and I want to know like how I can stop doing that. I like don't have the heart to block her, which I know I like probably should. But yeah, like have you ever been in a situation like that? And like, what can I do? Because I just like I project all of these thoughts onto her, even though I know they weren't even like officially together, and like it wasn't even a thing for that long. I just project so much onto her. And, like, we've been together for, like, a year and a half. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah, so I guess that's my question. Maybe don't use this, though, because I feel like I wish I would have thought it out more and left a voice note. Okay, bye.
Edges has this look of still horror on his face.
Is that Ambien? Like, is that an Ambien call?
All I kept thinking was, like, girl, get thy ass to Press Juicery and get yourself a Roots. Like, a Roots 3. You need, like, a beet, apple, lemon, carrot, ginger. Like, you need a sugar. You need a little influx in sugar. I mean, there's just no energy there. I appreciate like, her like, complimenting what? My energy, yeah. But there are two extremes, my friend, and right. I think I fall somewhere in between them. This said, though, okay, so what her thing was is, you know, that was all. Thank you, Tara, for calling. That's honestly like that's my favorite is when people call and so they like they've been following me for that long. That means the most. You all mean a lot to me. Whatever. Anyway, listen. My point is. Apparently, Tara has a bad habit of when she's been drinking, of even though she's been with her boyfriend for a year and a half, going on social media and looking up his ex-girlfriend's pages.
Okay.
And kind of projecting onto them. That's what she said. Okay. Even though they weren't technically together and even though blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just want to say that, like, even just hearing you say, like, even though they weren't technically together, it seems like you are very insecure and you've had to do a lot of justification to even get to the point where, like, you're probably not driving him nuts about this. Because I imagine that if you're at the point where, like, I mean, you guys have had to have thought about this or something in a year and a half. And if not, he's probably at least picked up on the fact that you're insecure. You have some insecurity around his previous dating life.
Yeah.
Maybe not even just with this girl, but in general. Like, are you guys the kind of couple that's like, hey, did you fuck her? Like, do you guys ask each other questions like that? Like,
That's slow pro cray cray.
Well, and I mean, I know a lot of people do that, but like, girl.
Okay. I need to step in. Girl, you got him. Okay. You have him. Okay?
Be like Luann.
Like, you literally, like, you need to be BT before Tara.
Yeah.
Because before Tara, it doesn't matter. And the thing is that, like, you got that man. So why are you going on this poor girl's social media to stalk her? Because Tara, what we need to do is we need to work on your self-esteem, honey, because that is not the moniker of someone with high self-confidence. And I want better for you because you sound like a lovely lady.
Yeah.
You sound very tired.
But one of my biggest fears is that like one of my ex's new flings or girlfriends or whatever is looking at my social media and being like, how could he be with her? And like judging me when I'm over here, either A, is still trying to heal right, from that relationship, or B, just keep my head above water and be a human being like the rest of us. Little do I know that I have some chick who's with my man, like snarking on me.
But it also kind of sounded like this girl, like she caught some feelings about this girl and she's kind of stalking her because she's maybe feels like she can't live up to her or
that's
something.
That's what it is. She's insecure.
She's insecure about it. And that's it's heartbreaking because I don't want that for her. And it's also like, you have to work on that for your relationship because no one wants to be with someone who's that insecure. And I hate to break it to you, but that's what we're here. We're here to advise. Please advise. You asked, and now we're here to advise.
It is true.
So it's like no one wants to be with that.
That shade of insecurity is wildly unattractive.
It's wildly unattractive. It will repel him, honey.
Wear him down.
Yeah, and so live in the moment, be in the present. Don't be stalking this girl's social media, you know. And unless there's like an unknown fact of the situation, like where like he's constantly talking about her or something, so she's curious about her because that to me gives more bearing.
You
to
either
it.
Need to end the relationship,
right?
Or and you know what, blocking her if she can see that you've blocked her. That's just going to make you look fucking nuts.
Even crazier.
If God forbid, you know, whatever, someone says, oh, like, look at her page. She has a cute ring on or something today. Or like, oh, I like her top. And then she clicks over there. She winds up on some drunken journey herself. That is the ex-girlfriend's place to do insane things like that. That's the ex-girlfriend's right place, whatever. She is the ex-girlfriend is allowed to do what you're doing. You are not allowed to do what you're doing.
Or you're allowed, like, if you're like, okay, like, how do I say this? Like, if you're like the funnier, cooler, cute girlfriend, and she's like the sexy but dumb one, let's just say, like, prototype, yes, for speaking prototypes here, you're allowed to look at her social media to, like, low pro clown her and be like, oh my god, look how cheesy she is in that fucking outfit, and like, she's not as cute as me, and she's not as ironic and funny as me. Like, that journey I support, like, because these thoughts, you know, like, you know, we got to, like, keep tabs on them sometimes. But what I will say is, if you're looking at her and for literally no reason other than to, like, drive a knife into yourself, we don't support that.
And also, why would it drive a knife into yourself? He's not with her.
That's what I'm – it's like – but it's like, do you – like, why are you – like, do you
– it hurts my feelings to hear Tara Negger and be like, they weren't even really together. Because here's the other thing, too.
And yet your she's still on your mind, honey.
I know. And here's the other thing, too, is that I think you probably need to look at the fact that every single person in a new relationship – does their own little revisionist history journey, mm-hmm, where maybe, mm-hmm, they technically weren't even really in a relationship. Well, she probably was sleeping at his house 5 nights a week, and they probably said, I love you, once or twice when they were drunk. I mean, whether or not you view it as a real relationship or not, like, that, it doesn't, none of it matters. Like, it could be your worst nightmare. She could have literally, like, they could literally have fucked on the bed that you guys sleep in every single night. Sorry, Tara. Like, I'm just going to bash you over the head with it. They could have done that, but they are no longer doing
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Like, it's in the past. Leave it in the past. Hashtag and throwback Thursday.
Well, like, you know what? But think about the pain that she might be in still. But she might miss your boyfriend. She herself might still be recovering from this and in a sad place and be envious of you. And, like, just, it seems a little mean girl to me for you to be, like, kind of cutting down what their relationship was. And I know that you're not doing it to be a mean girl, because I can hear that it's coming, yeah, from a place of insecurity. But I think that this is a classic example of insecurity turning into something really ugly. And I just think that you're just, I don't know. I don't want you to be mean to her. Like, yeah. I want better for you than that, because you should, A, be more confident in your relationship. B, trust your boyfriend. If you can't trust your boyfriend, get the fuck out of there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I just don't – I don't know. Like, I wish you had included your age. I assume if you were reading my Tumblr, unless you were a very inappropriate preteen, you're in your mid-20s roughly. And, you know, it's just – you're going to get to a certain point where you just realize how not cute this was. And I would like to spare you that. But everyone's got to learn their lessons on their own time. Maybe keep us just updated. 323-450-7408. Call us back, Tara. And thank you so much for, I don't know, calling and saying all those nice things. I'm sorry if we were harsh on you.
Yeah, and thank you for being considerate to your roommate, too. That is very nice of you. And if you weren't on Ambien, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, is that what it was?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said it sounded her something like she was afraid of her situation. Neighbors hearing her, which I'm always like, do you think your
neighbors? People, oh, I thought it was a roommate.
Sometimes people call and are like, my neighbors might hear me. I'm like,
oh, God.
But, like, what do you, the world's,
what the what fuck, shoddy construction job to jerk?
I know.
Like, landlord puts you in, girl. Like, how thin are those walls? Jesus.
Also, I mean, like, what does it feel like to have all the planets and the sun orbit around you, you fucking lunatic? Like, no one's listening to you. No one is listening to you.
But sometimes they are, is all I can say. And I learned that the hard way. I have learned this.
Ed is the worst whisperer and the worst mouther of words.
I can't get into it, but one time someone was quote unquote eavesdropping on a conversation of mine, literally heard bites of what I was saying, took those bites, weaved them into a completely false fabrication, and then emailed someone that I love and was like, this was said. And I'm like, no, bitch. Like, it was not said. Like, it was literally like so far. I was like, that's not what happened. That is not what I would say. That doesn't sound like me. Like, it was.
Well, I don't think Tara's neighbor's going to do that with about her please advise call about her pathetic stalking of an ex.
Right. But, you know, but when it comes to the people I love, I'm very protective.
Okay, we've got a letter. We'll take our next call, which is actually a letter. And Ed is going to read it.
Okay, guys. It says, hey, Malls, Christina, and guest. I have always had a very smart gut. This is both a blessing and a curse, but now I am also pregnant and on hyper alert, anxious, and jealous, which I'm seeking help for as I clearly have trust issues from my past. My question is, how serious is my husband's interaction with women on social media? Of course, there is one particular hoe that worries me. She is the first to like everything he posts, unless it's literally anything to do with me. My gut is screaming, girl. I have a feeling there might have been something going on between them in the past, and he is oblivious to her current advances. She is an actress. Neff said. I probably have nothing to worry about. He isn't the straying type, but in the past, I've been burned before and I ignored the signs for so long. This was not with my husband, but when I say burned, I mean fucking scorched. In general, how serious is social media interaction and should it worry me? Should I risk pissing him off again by asking him about her? I already followed her on Instagram, just to put it out there that she is on my radar. I can be sort of savage when I need to be, but whatevs. I have a mama bear territorial shit going on. Let me know what you think. She wrote, do I ever say her name?
Yeah.
Madeline.
Okay. Well, I mean, I always think the number one sign of whether or not something is sketchy is just whether or not he's weird about you seeing or knowing what it is. I mean, if there's nothing to hide, he won't feel a need to hide it. Well, privacy and respect is one thing. And I do generally think that if you lack trust around social media or phones, your relationship is kind of doomed. But I also want to acknowledge that you're pregnant and your emotions are at an all-time high.
And you've been scorched.
And you're probably, being pregnant and feeling like fear of abandonment is probably like on one. Like, you know what I mean? Like your any fear, because like your body, people are already predisposed to need other people. But when you're pregnant and you're carrying another person, you probably really feel like you need other people. So,
here's the thing. These hoes ain't loyal. And so
you talking about her husband?
No, I'm talking about the hoe out there. That thought.
But the husband is all, if he's in a facility.
No. But here's the thing. She said that this girl always likes things with the husband, but then never likes things with her and the husband in the photo, which is, that's, to me, that's shady. And here's the thing. Like, it's a very fine line of trusting your gut. Like, if your husband is exhibiting questionable social media behavior, well, you know, you need to let
reel it in now.
You need to let him know that that's not acceptable and that this is not the relationship you signed up for him to be acting like a skank on social media with some thirsty ass hoe.
Go ahead and just like completely just trade sides that I was just about to even offer to be on. I'm actually just, you know what? I know enough people, especially it sounds like you're in LA.
She's an actress, it sounds like it's LA. If she's liking all your husband's photos and specifically the ones with you not in them, that is very thirsty and questionable on her part.
It's not unintentional.
These side chicks, honey, these side pieces nowadays, they are ruthless. And I think that if your gut is going off because you knew that something is weird, well, trust your gut. And also, yes, pregnancy hormones factor in. I understand that, but
I'm also just gonna say this though, like, men are not clueless, and if you've got a pregnant wife and I've had guys like prematurely set boundaries with me where I'm like, all right, honey, like that was gonna happen anyway, like, you know, like where guys have just been like, oh, my wife's pregnant, you know, and I'm like, well, okay, well, I was just saying hi, how are you, like, you know what I mean? And that's been a little like I'm sorry. Did you think I was trying to jump your bones? Like, I just was saying, like,
some guy was like, I'm not gay. And I'm like, I just said hello. Like,
yeah, I liked your tweet. Like,
yeah, maybe you are gay. I don't know.
You know, and that is definitely like, you know, I think a good guy does that in his conversations. I think good people in general talk about what's going on in their life. Not exclusively, like you can talk about TV, movies, whatever else, but I have plenty of married guy friends who are like, oh, the wife is doing such and such tonight, or like, oh, like we're going to go do this weekend, or like going to Ojai with my girl, like whatever. And that is a friendship, is when a guy is just, when I have a guy friend that's just like, you know, very open with me about his relationship, doesn't talk or not talk about his wife to a weird extent, you know, like isn't like prematurely, preemptively throwing out that he's in a relationship or taken, but also isn't like completely not bringing up that he's got a pregnant wife at home. I think that it's all really, I think, you know, look, as much as we can call this girl a hoe or whatever else, and I know the difference. I just think that this is on your husband, and I understand why you don't trust this actress, but I think that if it has gotten inappropriate, it's 100% on your husband.
It is.
Because that's not what you want in a partner.
Agreed, and I 100% stand by that. But also, like, if her husband is staying on the straight and narrow and he's not indulging in this flirtation, however, this girl is being kind of ruthless, well, it's also his job to sort of like low pro check her.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, his responsibility. Yeah,
but I'm saying it doesn't take away the fact that these thoughts, you know, that they are
right. But I don't want to just blame the woman. Because,
no, I don't.
Like,
it's
I
not
think,
all her
I
fault.
I think anyone. Look, I've been in relationships and had guys try it with me. I've been in relationships and have guys corner me and be like, "What?
Guys
what
are
is
thoughts
your boyfriend?
Too. Guys
what
are hoes too."
You know, like people will say, like, what is your, you know, so such and such have that I don't. Like, people can get really crazy, especially if they're drinking, especially over social media where there's a false sense of confidence.
Right. I just think that, like, I would hope that if she thinks that her husband's not the straying type, then that's good. And I think that's – I sounds like he's not. But also, like,
why?
You know. Because she said that, like, she's been in a cheating relationship in the past and she, like – kind of knows.
That's like saying you know what a rapist looks like. I mean, in a sense.
No, not at all.
I mean, because men are capable of things. When someone gets pregnant, sometimes things can change. I think if her gut is saying that something is inappropriate.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was getting to there. Like, I literally feel that, like, her gut is telling her something's inappropriate. Her gut is also telling her that she doesn't think anything has happened.
Right.
But that what I'm saying is that, like, cut it off now. Like, let him know. It's also you're allowed to see what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with, especially when you're married and you're pregnant and you're carrying this man's child. Like, you're allowed to say, this makes me uncomfortable, and he should respect that, especially because he doesn't want to cause his pregnant wife stress.
Yeah, and I would be interested to know what the genesis of their relationship was. Was it, like, professional in nature? Because there are some people that I follow on Instagram, like, I just follow the one spouse or the other because I've known them in a professional capacity. Right. And so, like, to follow their wife would be, unless I knew their wife, like, fairly well, it would be a little bizarre.
No, but also what she's saying is that it's not just that, but it's that, like, when photos of them pop up together.
No, I hear that. Yeah, yeah. I hear that. I'm just saying that, like, this is where it's, like, maybe they've worked – maybe he's a producer and she's an actress.
Yeah.
And they have had a cordial working relationship in the past. And, like, you know, actresses – you know, her profession is interesting in this case because actresses do have a needy streak. They can be very inappropriate. Mm-hmm. They can be very, like, they're attention seeking.
Right.
And so for her, it could also just be like, can I still get this guy's attention? And that's not, you know.
A lot of women do that.
Yeah. A lot, yeah.
They just want to know they can get the attention. It's not even having a relationship. They just want to know they can.
And men, and yours truly.
I will admit that in a very, like, weakened moment, I have texted an ex I knew was in a relationship and been like, so would you, like, still get back together with me? And, like, that, I mean, is awful because, like, I wouldn't have gone for it anyway.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know what they would say.
Or sometimes you feel proprietary over people, especially if you knew them first.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't give a fuck about the new bitch. Like, I don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
Like, I knew this man, blah, 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 and I put in this time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she's swooping in. I don't think so. Like,
yeah.
I mean, but that's crazy, you know? Like, that's also crazy.
I mean, yeah. No, definitely.
You gotta
and, like,
respect
it would
that
only
title.
Be someone I dated, like, a decade ago.
Yeah.
It would never be someone that, like, I recently dated that I'm like, hi, I'm just want to see if I can poke in here and ruin your fucking life. Like, that's not.
I mean, let's not forget, you know, we were talking about the fact that I was literally almost like a full-blown side piece.
No, I know.
You know, and I was almost like, I was.
That was a little, yeah, it was a little different.
It's very different, even because I literally, there's extent, I can't go into it, but, like, basically what you guys do need to know is that it'd be like if Jennifer Aniston. No, let's scratch that.
He had a partner that was permissive of him being in an open relationship, but this guy started to develop feelings for you.
Yes, and his partner also was, based on what he told me, not exactly the best partner in the entire
world. Well, the middleman is always a fucking liar. Let's go back to the first call, which is that there's always going to be a revisionist history about what's going on in your relationship when you're talking to someone new.
But the receipts on what he told me were very verifiable, is all I can say. And therefore, I believe the truth of the receipts. So what I will say is, given those receipts, given that I have possession of those receipts, that I did not feel like a side piece because they were in an open relationship and I was...
No one called you a side piece. You're defending the name you called yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Ed's coming... Ed is like, well, Molly, the reason why I am not a side piece. And I'm like, literally fucking never. No one ever. I'm like, why am I being yelled at? Thank God I, you know, by the way, this is the type of scenario I find myself in often where all of a sudden someone's yelling at me. And
I'm not yelling at you.
No, but like someone's like mad at me. And I don't think at the time I'm like, oh, wait. This isn't my fault. I'm so glad that I just realized mid you talking that I'm like, he said he was a side
piece. I'm not mad at you and I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, like, in this,
you got sassy.
In this part, I'm just saying that, like, I understand what it is to seek attention from someone who's in a relationship because of thirstiness. And I'm not thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm not. There's a very big difference. But what
he says that as he clutches an entire big ass water bottle.
There's a lot of electrolytes. Is a lot of electrolytes.
He also clutched his faux pearls. I don't know if he's... Ed is a big pearl clutcher.
I also have, like, a lot of holes in my shirt, and I'm clutching the holes in my shirt, which is really strange. I'm clutching a lot of things. I know. I bought it like that.
Ed's move is pearl clutching. I do, like, hand to heart. Like, totally. I get very, like... This is about
or I'll do like the full blown like I'll I do this too, like I'll be like, oh my god, like
the hands over the mouth.
It's full blown Kim Richards at that table when Taylor was like, or was that like Kyle? One of them did it.
Kim and Kyle both do it. They where both it's just do it. Like,
they cover their entire mouth because they're shocked by something.
They make a teepee over their mouth with their hands.
I'm a big fan of that because when you're so shocked by something, you just got to cover your entire. You're like. You can't see Ed the rest of his face.
No, I also am like, sometimes I will catch myself with my jaw on the floor. Like, I've, like, been in a situation before and just been like.
I feel like I've seen you in the.
I've seen Molly so many times.
There was
one time that I was like, I put my finger under your chin to, like, put your jaw.
When was the last time you felt that? I feel like, I know. What was the last time?
Mouth quite frequently. Agape. Like, mouth agape.
Wait, when was the last I saw you do that, though? I feel like we had a really good reason, too. I feel like there was something that happened that you and I were at.
Probably, like, at the airport. Last time we were at the airport. When we saw Tommy Lee. Was it when we saw Tommy Lee at the airport bar?
No, it was like at a party and it was like a year ago and something happened that you were just like
oh,
you were literally like mouth agape.
And I will walk around for like 10 minutes with my eyes bugged out of my head and my jaw fucking fully slacked. Like, I just like can't. I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't think. But, you know, here's the other thing, too, is that I do have great faith. And like, let's think about our guy friends that we know that are married. For the most part, I really do think that if something inappropriate happened, they would politely do their best to make sure that I wasn't embarrassed and that they maintain their integrity. And that's what I would hope of my husband, is that if he was put into a position, my non-existent, never will be husband, I would hope that he would respectfully, like, you know, say like, you know what, maybe I had too much to drink, maybe forgot I was married and have a kid on the way, God bless ya. Have a good night. See you at the next party.
And also, sometimes you got to pick your battles, you know, like you got to really weigh in on, is it worth it to bring this up? Because, you know, is this a serious issue or is this a seriously invented issue? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like, you got to really pick your battles because, like you said, it sounds like he's heard this before from you, and I'm not saying that you're not justified because I don't want you to feel that.
If you're afraid to say something, he's probably heard it too many times. Because you're aware, because like, here's the big thing. What would be the big deal of you looking at him and being like, I know I'm being fucking crazy, you know I'm pregnant, and so like, part of this is just me being like, bugged out of my brain on hormones, but like, I'm a little bit weirded out by this girl, and I don't understand why. She never likes the pictures of both of us together.
That's my big thing.
I don't understand.
Like the ones of both of you. Like the ones of both of you.
But you know, just say, like, I never understand. It's like, it, you know, the fact that she DMs you and then I notice this and then I notice this. For me, it's just not adding up. And like, I just really need a support. I am pregnant right now and I really need as supportive of a partner as possible. And I think if he's going to begrudge you that this means that you've probably pushed this issue too many times. You've pulled too many triggers in the past on this and that you have not shown the best judgment in the past when it comes to this stuff. If he is upset by this.
Yeah. And also, like, he doesn't, it's like, unless you have some horrendous gut feeling that he is cheating and that all that stuff. And but I will say that, you know, if you're bringing the past stuff into the this relationship, that can be problematic. And that could, you know, because you don't want to make the man who is not cheating on you pay for all the mistakes of the man who did cheat on you. Like, that's not fair. And that's right. That's not fair for anyone. And
you can say to him, too, like, you know what? I'm pregnant right now. Probably not the best time to do major psychological work. But, like, you know, I this is something that I don't, this isn't a way that I want to live forever. Wags, come here. I don't want to live, like, a life of jealousy forever. I don't want to live like this. I definitely want to talk with someone and deal with my issues when I am not pregnant. But that doesn't mean that you're the only one in this relationship who needs to change. If he's doing things that are making you uncomfortable and you can't express that to him, I mean, why does he need to DM this girl? Is he, or is like, are they, do they have a genuine deep friendship? Like, doubtful. You know, and that's where I keep going back to, well, have they worked together? Like, what could their common connection be that's worth spending time talking to online, unless it's some sort of like nefarious reason?
Right. Yeah. Well, best of luck with that.
I mean, call us back, girl. I hope good luck with the rest of your pregnancy. And call us back and keep us updated, because this one in particular is something that I really need an update on from you. Whether it's I'm so silly, whether it's oh my god, he completely fucking freaked when I asked him, or whatever. But I'm just gonna ask you to do me one thing: do not go through his shit without him, because that is where you lose the argument every time. No matter what you do, if you go snooping, you do not want to be 7 months pregnant, snooping through someone's shit, finding shit that upsets you, and then being told that, and then having your entire cause invalidated because he's like, well, you snooped. And while that is definitely like a fucking loser's way of trying to get out of an argument, it is pretty valid that you're not supposed to be snooping on another adult's equipment, even if they're your husband. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
If I was being snooped on?
Yeah, like, wouldn't you feel completely violated? Totally. And, like, no matter what they found, it wouldn't matter? Because, like, why the fuck are you violating me?
Yeah, totally.
You should have asked me.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I don't think snooping is not the way to go.
All right, whatever. No one cares anymore, except for me. Next call.
Hi, Malls and gang. This is Joan from Atlanta. I was just calling to see if you had any advice to cope with burnout. I work in technology and we're a startup. The hours are crazy. The stress is unimaginable. And I think that I'm just burned out. So if you have tips to overcome that or to avoid getting burnout before it's too late, it would all be great to hear. Thank you so much.
Well, I mean, I probably don't have to tell you that you're working in a field that is notorious for burnout, which is startup culture, because you're underpaid, you're overworked. And unless you have some sort of equity stake or stand to have some sort of equity stake, you kind of feel like you're just, I mean, what is the point of sweat equity if you're not really like getting something from this? So I would just ask you to kind of generally ask yourself, is working at a startup right now going to benefit you in the long term, knowing that burnout is inevitable, because humans can only handle so much. It's just true. It's the startup culture is a grind, and the rainbow on the other side of the grind is usually some sort of payday or the website being acquired or the startup being acquired. And that's just the way that story goes. The only thing that I can say to you that I wish that I had done more when I was my busiest was just not honor that I didn't – the times that I didn't have to be working. Ed, can you join the table, please?
No, I was just waiting for you to finish.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were like playing Candy Crush or something. No, I think that you should honor the time that you were not in the office and the times that like are, if you have an hour off, take your fucking hour off. Like if you don't have to stay late one night, don't stay late to get brownie points, especially if you don't have equity. If you have equity, do whatever you have to do. But like, if you, if you're not being fairly compensated, if you're not getting overtime, which I'm positive you're not, you should just take your time and do whatever you can in your free time to sleep as much as possible, to relax as much as possible, to do the things that make you really, really happy, spending quality time with friends, maybe not exerting your energy by going out and partying, maybe having a quiet movie night at home with your friends, or if you want to go blow it out at the bar, go do that instead. But like, just find the thing that makes you really happy and do that with every free moment that you have, so that every moment that you're trapped behind a desk, you have a little bit of a reward and a little bit of a life. And make sure not to like hit cancel on all other aspects of your life, because for my first 2 years of Two Broke Girls and Hello Giggles, I was like afraid to date. Like, I was like 28 years old and like I had no time to date. I wasn't going out. I wasn't meeting people. The only time I ever met people was through work or in work scenarios, which is a whole different problem. And I will just tell you that like you need to honor the fact that you're a human being who needs a full round life. So if that means taking time to go out and date, if that means taking time to spend at home with your significant other or to work on your friendships or to do whatever, life is not just work and not work. And I used to view things like that, especially when I was working in startup culture for myself and before I was, when I was working on websites for other people, I thought of life as work. And then the few times that I wasn't working, and even then I was always trying to find new ways to work in those not work times. I just kept giving myself jobs. So I would, if I were you, not do that as much as you can.
Also, I would really recommend getting into like a solid yoga practice, mm-hmm. because I think yoga is a time of clarity and it's 1 hour, and don't go to the ones that are like an hour and a half, but find an hour class where you can just breathe through it and center again, because that'll be one time in your day. Like if it needs to be every morning or three times a week or on Saturdays, you know, just make sure you're squeezing in yoga, make sure you're squeezing in time to do cardio, you know, even if it's just 30 minutes, it'll get you ready for bed. It'll release the endorphins, you know, it'll make you feel like, you know, like you're not just at the office, you know, like get some time to do cardio, make sure you're eating healthy, because it sounds like you can't get around working a lot right now, so you're just gonna have to kind of ride the wave, but still find time to sleep, still find, make sure that you're, you know, like make sure you're at least taking like little intermittent 10 minute breaks at some point in the day when you can, to go outside, you know, like just, you know, stand
get
up,
a Fitbit
stretch
or something.
Yeah, like stretch throughout the day, like, you know, try getting one of those stand up desks, you know, just that kind of stuff. And, you know, because it sounds like you're very invested in this and it sounds like, you know, you're on the verge of burning out. So start doing all the things you can to like backtrack that and avoid that.
Yeah. And that said, the yoga thing is such a good tip. And I want to add on to that, that I remember really, this is like how and why I fell in love with hot yoga, is because I really found that sweating was so important to me. Like it really felt so good to just like drench myself in sweat and know that all of that day and that negativity and that stress was getting out of my body through my – it was a physical manifestation of that shit leaving my physical being.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think just breathing and, you know, the breathing, the fundamentals of breathing and yoga, and just taking that one time to honor your clarity and being clear and relaxing, you know, even if it's like a slow, like it's like a slower
restorative
stretch, restorative.
Great.
I just think you should try to incorporate that into your week, whether it's every day, whether it's three times a day or three times a week or twice a week. Just it needs to be at least once or twice to three times a week. So try to incorporate that.
And also treat yourself every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You work hard for a reason. You deserve to be treated well like a queen, you know?
I hope she's making
decent indulge
money.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Really, you know, that's how you
go to Nordstrom's Rack and pick out something cute.
Or exactly. Spa day. Have a spa day.
Yeah. Yeah. Find whatever it is that's meaningful to you, that makes you happy. For everyone, it's something totally different. And do it. I like to get blow dries. That's like my thing that I do, is that once a week I go and get a blow dry. It's $35. My hair comes out great. I keep it for like 3 or 4 days. And I'm, you know, of course I take baths and shit, but like I'm so happy because I have like my blowout. And I'm like, I know who I am right now. This is something that I did for myself today. Yeah. And it makes me feel better.
could be taking a pottery course or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, fuck yeah. If you can find that where you live, absolutely.
Do one thing for yourself every day that is for you, just for you. And that's the key.
Yeah. And one thing that I found that was huge for me, no kidding, and I've said this before, but this really applies to you in particular. Heed this advice. 2 nights out of the house a week, tops. Like, don't try to do, especially if you're younger, don't try to do after work drinks more than twice a week. Don't include your weekends in that, because when you are going out and like exerting yourself, physically, especially if you're going out and drinking, or especially if you're going out and like doing a lot of socializing, that is exhausting. And you really need to be in bed by 11, because your most restorative sleep cycle is between midnight. I think it starts at like midnight and it goes until about 3 a.m. And you really need to be in full REM mode during those hours. So I try to get in bed every single night by 11, even if I don't necessarily fall asleep, because I know I'll catch at least 1 hour of restorative sleep. So what?
You said REM and all of a sudden I started thinking, that's me in the corner.
Yeah, girl.
That's me in the spotlight. Okay, sorry.
But one thing we did want to talk about is that Christina and I are going to be doing something, talking about our journey with this podcast, creatively, logistically, friendship-wise. I mean, as most of you probably know, I have worked with friends before, and it is not the easiest thing in the world, but I have had a wonderful working relationship with Christina, which has been a pleasant surprise, and it's not always been easy, but like, I mean, I'm not going to lie that when we started Please Advise, I had a little bit of a sense of dread, because if I was to lose any friends in the world, the two sitting in front of me would be my biggest nightmare. So like, I never wanted our work to get in the way of that. So I'm very, very honored, and I know Christina is too, to be a part of the Work It Festival this year in Los Angeles at the Ace Hotel. Christina went last year, and it was a life-changing experience for her, and we can touch on that in a second. But I do want to say that on October 4th at 2 p.m., we are going to be on the second stage talking all about basically our journey with Please Advise, how it started, what we did to kind of get the whole thing started up, things that we've encountered over our time doing this podcast. Some of these stories might sound familiar to you. Some of these stories, we're going to be spilling the real teas. Some of these stories you've probably never heard, and what it is we hope to do in the future, different ways that we've figured out as friends to build this brand, but also keep it contained. It's on October 4th at the Ace Hotel. It's WERKIT Festival. Because, you know, that makes sense for us too. They like to misspell things. We like to misspell things because we're fun. I think that this is a perfect alignment. And honestly, we are in excellent company at this thing. So if you're looking at the ticket price and thinking like, oh, I don't know if I can splurge on this, go, because so many people from so many of your favorite podcasts are going to be there. I would just go Google Work It Festival, WERK again. It's through WNYC Public Radio, correct? And so we are, look at the whole lineup, see who's there, see what it's like. But a lot of you have called us before and said, I too want to start a podcast, or, you know, I want to know how you and Christina came to like get together and do this project, or, you know, how do you guys balance this or whatever. If any of those questions you have of us, those are bare minimum what we're going to be answering that day. We also are going to have a Q&A session at the end of it, and which I guess I can give advice, but we can give advice, but I don't think that's why we're there. But advice of a certain nature. I mean, I hope the girl from I hope the girl with the husband on social media comes. Madeline. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited. Christina, talk about the Work It Festival, how it changed you.
It was
forever.
So great. It was so great to be there. I met so many great women in the podcasting industry, and it was so great to be around all women for 2 days. I mean, like, that never happens. And especially in a dominated industry, like, it's so male dominated. So it was nice to be around other women for the whole entire time. And it was so inspiring. There were so many great talks. I learned so many great things, both as a person who is a producer and a content creator, but also someone who steps occasionally in front of the mic. And it gave me so much more confidence. And I think that It happened last year in June. I went, and I think, I mean, people have heard a noticeable difference in how I approach myself here on this show. And a lot of that came out of being there and just being confident in my voice and knowing that, like, I have something to offer to people. And I got that through going there and hearing other women of color talk about their experiences. It was so great to just be surrounded by that and supported, and knowing that, you know, my voice matters. And it's a really great experience. I would encourage you, if you can go, please go.
Yeah.
Because you will walk away with something.
And absolutely, we wanted to give you guys plenty of notice, because this is something that if you can drive into LA, or if you can fly here, if you can afford to do that, if you have the desire to do that, we're giving you as much time as possible in advance to kind of get prepped for this. Maybe do it, pack up a van of girlfriends and come. I will say, I have to admit to you, I'm a little bit nervous for a different reason than I'm usually nervous.
Why is that?
So, like, when I do, like, a UCB something or, like, a comedy something, I'm always nervous because I didn't train in traditional comedy for as long as most of those people. But when I go to something like this, I always get nervous because I don't take myself particularly seriously. I'm not a very businessy person at times. And I feel like everyone's going to be very New York-y, and I'm going to seem like a goofball compared to everyone else. That's what I'm worried about. That's where my self-consciousness lies.
I think you're going to be just fine.
It'll be fine.
Yes.
There's all types.
There's all types.
All types.
We have the hosts of Another Round that are going to be there, and they just chill. They drink on the pod. It's very casual. It's not all like public radio.
Yeah.
You know, so they have people of all types there.
Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
What is that?
It's like, won't Jesus do it?
Oh.
Yeah, like, won't he do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really fun. I'm excited.
I'm super excited.
That's so exciting. I'm excited for you guys.
Are you going to come?
I'll come watch you guys for sure.
Are guys allowed to spectate?
Oh, you're not allowed? Okay.
Okay, so it's women only.
So he won't do it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's women only.
He won't do it.
He won't do it, but won't he do it?
Yeah.
He will, but I won't do it. But what I will say is, you guys are speaking to my soul right now. I love this. Sounds like the sisterhood. I love it.
So interesting. Well, I'm so excited, and I hope I see you guys there. Ed, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you?
You can find me and my truth on Instagram at Edward Hansen. You can find me on Twitter for just like dumb shit at The Real Ed Hansen. That's Hanscn because I'm Danish. And those are the two places I'm comfortable with you finding me. So
okay. Besides
Grindr, Scruff, and Growler.
Okay, I love you so much.
Love you.
Wait,
too.
What kind of do you identify as an otter? What are you?
I would rather.
You don't identify as anything?
No, I'd rather pluck my toenails out than identify as anything, please.
Okay.
Just,
what do you think others would categorize you as? A cub?
An HBIC, hopefully. You know, like a boss bitch and, you know, a flawless human. That's what you should identify
it's
me
just
as.
Just a flawless human.
Just like a flawless human. If you dare slap a label on me, I'll fucking slap back. So,
all right.
Please,
I love you,
please,
babe.
Please do not.
Okay. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, bye.
Woo!
You want it to be done.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.